providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are now wrapping up this weekend's edition with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also writes the Mark to Market blog. Now, the first three segments of this show we recorded on Wednesday, right before U.S. Thanksgiving. And in all fairness, I was thinking that we were going to really record the whole show before Thanksgiving. But boy, oh boy, the volatility that we saw on Friday warrants a whole other direction for this final segment of the show. So, Mark, I'm glad you could join us to talk about what is a pretty down day on Friday. You look across the board, we have U.S. equity markets all down over 2%. We also have the metals down. We have just a lot of red on the screen, and oil really stands out to me because that's down over $10 today. It's a massive drop for oil, and when you consider oil was above $85 at the end of October, we now have a 20% drop in oil. So before we get into oil, Mark, clearly all of this down action on Friday is due to fears about this new COVID variant. Look, clearly investors are scared. This is on everyone's radar. What do you think is most important to understand and to take away from this big drop we are seeing to end the week?
Yeah, huh? What amazing move. I mean, these kind of things happen. I mean, we had one, of course, last year when the COVID first struck. Very sharp, dramatic moves, which means that sometimes it's not just fair value that drives these, right? But it's everybody trying to get out at the same time. And that's the first point I'd make, really, is about market positioning. People with long stocks, they're being forced out of them. Especially, you know, and same thing that we've seen in the currency markets. Those currencies that were strong, were anticipating stronger growth, tightening moves by central banks, those currencies are moving down, while the currencies that are the funding currencies that are used to buy those assets, safe haven currencies like Swiss franc, the euro, the yen, stronger. So and you're right, it's all about this new variant. We really don't know much about it, except it's already been found in three or four different countries outside of Africa. And the issue is that this is the most mutated out of the different strains, and that it's going to take a couple of weeks. So this level of uncertainty, and that's the second point I really make, is we live in a world that's not so absolute. Right? It's a probabilistic world. And so the trajectory that we were on before, it seems to me, the market is saying that there's a lower chance, a lower probability that past trajectory is going to continue. With this virus taking us off, and I think that's partly behind the oil. People are worried about the compression of demand. That if we have to go back into a lockdown situation, that's really the other point I'd make, is that COVID was on the rise in Europe. Record number of cases today in Germany, for example, new lockdowns in Austria, that it was rising in the United States before this new variant. And so it's sort of a bit of a pushing on an open door in the sense of that these forces were developing prior to this big news announcement.
Mark, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because in all fairness, oil was already correcting from 85 down into the mid-70s before this announcement came out. So the direction was already to the downside. And some of the market weakness we were already seeing earlier in the week. So this exasperated it. There's no doubt about it on Friday. But how much do you think this will stick, this fear of this new strain, versus all the other data that's coming in, whether it's the labor markets, the GDP growth, the inflation? I mean, how much does it matter in the bigger scheme of things? Because some of these trends were already in motion, and all this did was accelerate them.
Yeah, I think it accelerated them. I think the question is like, for example, how far does oil have to come down before you think that the bull market is over? We've chopped through some very key levels in the January WTI ahead of the weekend, including through the 200-day moving average. And that 200-day moving average comes in around 69.75. And I think that's really like the issue is that this all of a sudden, like, this, not that the waters were calm, but I think people had a feel for them, or they thought they had a feel for them. And now this thing is sort of dumped on our laps. What does this mean for going to the holiday season? What does this mean for tourism? All this kind of like the green shoots of growth, does this just cut them off? And if it does, then we have to be looking at, you know, the idea of dramatically slower world growth, dramatically change in the monetary policy outlook. You know, earlier this week, New Zealand did what everybody anticipated them to do, raise rates 25 basis points. There was some marginal disappointment. There were some people who thought they could cut 50, actually to raise 50 basis points. They did 25. They said they'd be raising rates much more, like three or four more times next year. And the New Zealand dollar is the weakest of the major currencies this week. And I think it's weak because the market had one priced in, and two, it doesn't think it's going to be able to deliver on those future rate hikes.
Mark, we have to consider how investors are viewing this news on the COVID variant, because quite frankly, the way that, let's say, the S&P is setting up just this week, and a lot of this drop is really just predicated on the action on Friday, it's going to be one of the largest drops weekly for the whole year. We go the whole way back to January to see a drop for a week that we are seeing this week. What do you think about the mentality of investors? Because even as Shad was saying, taking into account all this other data that was driving markets, clearly COVID news can take hold and trump everything.
Yeah, I think that's like a wild card in some ways. You know, and it, for a few years ago, it was about what's that unknown thing that could take away, like that could change the dynamics, like a terrorist incident, for example. I think that a lot of people, we've learned over several years, for maybe more than a decade, to buy dips. And I've typically wanted to do that. But this one scares me a bit. I think the uncertainty is going to linger a while. And I can see that other people who might be tempted to pick a bottom are also staying back. Here we are late in the North American session, and the S&Ps haven't even been able to bounce. And so I think that people like me, that mentality, I say, yes, we want to buy on the dip. And that's why we sold into the rally. And we've got the cash. We've got the cash on the sidelines. We're ready to buy. But we want to see this thing stabilize and see some more sign of what the impact of this new virus really means.
Well, Mark, it hasn't just been the general markets, and it hasn't just been the commodities that have been all over the place this week, and especially today. The currency markets have been a little bit crazy. We were talking off mic before we recorded just how wrong-footed most of the currency traders have been. They were short things that went long and long things that went short. So we're seeing that, you know, the U.S. dollar strength has continued against most currencies, but there's also some of these other major currencies that you mentioned briefly in one of your opening statements, that like the yen, that has been outperforming the euro, but it's been underperforming the dollar. And then there's some of the commodity currencies like the Canadian dollar, like the Aussie, like the Kiwi, that are also, you know, strong. So what do you make of the kind of the mess that the currency markets are in right now?
Yeah, so sometimes I think of the dollar as being like, I mean, it's the primary currency in the world. All these commodities are measured in it. Countries measure their currency's value against it. Reserves are kept in dollars. So sometimes the dollar is the actor. But sometimes the dollar, I find, is at like the middle of a seesaw. And that's where I think it is now. And on one hand, like you say, you've got the Aussie, Canada, Kiwi, Scandinavian currencies that they do well typically in times of strong growth, right, when they have strong risk appetites. And then the other side of the seesaw are the currencies that typically have low interest rates used for funding. And some people anticipate that funding, and they talk about it as a safe haven. And so I think that's really where we are now, is where those safe haven currencies used as funding currencies are being bought up. You know, the dollar yen is very, to me, is like not quite a car accident, but it's watching closely, like, and trying to get that market sentiment and psychology. Here's what happened. We broke out of a range back in the fall, and it looked like we were moved into a new trading range, roughly 113, roughly 115. A couple weeks ago, we dipped below the lower end of the range, fell to about 112.80 or so, popped right back into the range. Then earlier this week, we're testing the top end of the range. We're fraying it. We get up to 115.50. That's where we were Wednesday. Today, we got back down to 113. And I think that one of the things that attracts people to the foreign exchange market is its volatility, and it's the ability to leverage. And I think as traders, we have to decide whether we're in a trading range or whether we're in a trending market. And I think, you know, people look for that breakout, and it punishes you if you're wrong.
So, Mark, taking into account now this renewed fear coming back into the markets, and again, based solely on these new COVID variants or this new COVID variant. What are you doing with your portfolio? Are you standing pat, waiting to see how this all plays out? Because in all fairness, if we get some news from some of the drug companies that this variant is treatable through whatever, the vaccines or new pills, then maybe this is just a very short-term drop, but maybe this is start of something bigger. How are you positioning your portfolio? Are you being active, or are you being simply standing on the sidelines, seeing how it all plays out?
Yes, I'm standing on the sidelines here. I mean, we had talked back in the middle of September. Remember when the Evergrande, that Chinese developer, was crashing, and everybody was warning that it was the biggest thing since Lehman, or the Chinese version of Lehman. I bought on that dip, but I've learned the hard way that buying on dip strategies only works if you can sell rallies. And so I've struggled with that myself, and I ended up selling the rally a couple weeks ago, earlier in November. I bought the Qs, the NASDAQ 100, and I am tempted to buy, but I don't like the price action ahead of the weekend. And the vaccine, or I shouldn't say the vaccine, but the new virus, it's still not. I don't have enough information. Is it like you say? There's so many unknowns, and so until some clearer sign, it might take a while for either a clearer sign from the science or a clearer sign from the price action that's exhausted. So I'm sort of in a wait-and-see mode.
Well, Mark, I'm not even sure if economic data is going to matter next week, but there are a couple important economic reports coming out next week and data points. Why don't you walk us through some of the ones that you think are most important for investors to keep their eyes on?
Sure. Yeah, so next week, two big economic reports will stand out. One is the U.S. jobs data. And I agree with you. It's this new variant and what this means for policy going forward. I mean, we're already seeing many countries put on travel restrictions. But the jobs data is important because of where we are in the big picture of things. And it looks like the U.S. probably grew another 500,000 jobs or so last month or this month, November. It should be a solid jobs report. It's around the average that we've had this year. 500,000 a month, still a healthy clip. And I think that we might see it even pick up again faster in the early part of next year. And the other big economic piece of data we get comes from the Europeans, and this is on inflation. They released the preliminary estimate of November CPI. And by all accounts, it's going to accelerate. We know, so how to think about inflation, I think, in Europe is two big drivers, energy and the exchange rate. And so we know so leaving aside this last couple of days of price action with oil, you got to think about like the monthly average. We know that natural gas skyrocketed. We know the euro is weaker. And those two things probably push up inflation, and you've got the base effect on top of that. And so we should expect a pickup in the an acceleration of the European CPI well above 4%. And so I think to your point, does this matter? Well, I think that I think that if it wasn't for this new variant, we would see the hawks being able to push back against the doves at the ECB in the December meeting. And the key there, of course, is that the hawks are arguing that they're out of the emergency. And so they need to be adjusting monetary policy because inflation is becoming unanchored, twice the target. And rising. But with this new variant, I think that it's hard to say they were out of an emergency yet. So those are the two big releases, U.S. jobs data and the European CPI. We do get a couple of meetings that are interesting. Both Powell and Yellen testified before Congress. We get the OPEC meeting as well. The OPEC Plus, they're going to decide how to respond to this, to the consumers releasing whatever it is, 60 to 70 million barrels of oil. OPEC, you know, starting in the beginning of every month, and they want to put back, they plan on putting back 400,000 barrels a day to replace what was taken out. Remember last year when the big drop in oil prices? And it's a question really now of what OPEC, how OPEC responds. Does it recognize that this drop price in oil doesn't really have to do anything? Or are they going to cut back on the amount of oil they're going to release to the market instead of trying to punish the consumers for releasing their strategic reserves?
All right, Mark, we're wrapping it up here. This wraps up the weekend edition of the KE Report. And boy, oh boy, what a, I think, surprise Friday really was, and has, I'm sure, a lot of traders questioning the direction heading into the end of the year of markets. And really, again, a lot predicated just on the back of updated COVID news. We've all been watching COVID. It feels like forever. And clearly, COVID still can have some pretty quick and fast effects on markets. Mark, thank you very much for joining us this weekend. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. Again, please go back through our website throughout this week. That is kereport.com. Listen to all the daily editorials and listen to all the company updates we recorded and released for all of you. As always, you can always keep in touch with Shad and I through email at flex@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We love hearing from each and every one of you. Everybody, have a great rest of your weekend.